بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Continuing with the beliefs which we should have, we finished belief number 5. Today we do belief number 6. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from the qualities of the creation. In the Quran and Hadith, where such qualities are mentioned, then one of two things can be done. Very important to understand this belief that Allah Ta'ala does not have any of the qualities of the creation, but if such qualities are mentioned in the Quran and Hadith and attributed to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then one of two things can be done. Number one, the meaning can be referred back to Allah Ta'ala, that only He knows their reality and we believe in it without delving into their meaning. In other words, we refer it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the actual meaning and the reality of that meaning, we can't understand it on our own. This is the better course of action. Number two, an appropriate meaning can be rendered to them by which one can understand them. In other words, that those words which now are referred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which can also be used for the creation, but since it has been used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then an appropriate meaning can be attributed to them through which we can understand them. To explain that further, in the footnote here it mentioned, for example, reference to the hand of Allah is made in the Quran Majeed. It is best to leave the meaning of this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep silent about it. However, if something is said, then some appropriate meaning should be given. For example, that hand here refers to power, refers to the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One should not regard this meaning as the true or only meaning, because this is based on conjecture. It's not something which has been mentioned clearly in the Quran and Hadith that hand means power, but an appropriate meaning is given, but it should not be regarded to be the only meaning. Instead, one should regard this meaning as a possible explanation. Giving explanation to words of this sort is not the work of everyone, but should be left to the learned scholars of Islam. Belief number 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has comprehensive knowledge of all conditions that prevail in the world, whether good or bad, before it even occurs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates all conditions according to His knowledge. This is referred to as taqdeer, which we call predestination. There are many wisdoms in creating evil which no person understands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all conditions, good and bad. But bad conditions, what are the wisdoms behind it, we cannot understand. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why He creates conditions which we regard to be evil. Belief number 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed man with the faculty of intellect and will with the faculty of intellect and will, due to which man carries out actions of virtue and sin by his own choice. Man does not possess the ability to create his own actions. Very important to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything, even our actions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other hand, has granted us the faculty of intellect and will. And when we do an action, we do it by our own choice, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows from before what we are going to do and how we are going to conduct ourselves. Technically, in the kitabs of Aqaid taught, we hear the words Khaliq and Kasib. Allah is the Khaliq of everything, even our actions. But we are the doers of our actions. Therefore, the evil which we perpetrate and the wrongs which we do is actually through our own choice, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything. Allah is displeased with sin and pleased with acts of virtue. Your continuation. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 1¼ para was recited, commencing from the half of the third para and finishing at the 3/4 of the fourth para, in which the entire Surah Ali Imran was recited besides the first two rukus which were recited the night before. Surah Ali Imran. Ali Imran means the family of Imran. Imran, since the incident will be mentioned later on, Imran, Hazrat Imran was a very pious person, and he was the Imam of Baytul Maqdis also, and he is the father of Maryam alayhi salam, who herself is the mother of Isa alayhi salam. So Imran is actually the grandfather of Isa alayhi salam. Since the incident of this family, Imran is being mentioned here, later on we will discuss it. That's why the surah has been given its name, Surah Ali Imran. It was revealed after Hijrah, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hijrah to Madinatul Munawwarah. The circumstances of the revelation of about 80 ayats from the beginning was when a group of the Christians comprising of about 60 people came from a place of Najran to Madinatul Munawwarah, and their purpose and object of coming was to discuss some religious issues, particularly the issue of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Christians, they hold the belief that Isa alayhi salam, some of them, they believe that he was the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah. And to justify and substantiate their claims, they even recited some verses of the Quran al-Majeed, wherein Isa alayhi salam is referred to Ruhullah, the soul of Allah, and Kalimatullah, the word of Allah. So these are the types of verses they use to justify their own claims. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the concept of Tawheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no children. There's no question of Isa alayhi salam ever being the child of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through various proofs were put forward to them, but these Christians, they remain adamant and they refuse to accept what was mentioned to them, and they remain firm on the claim that Isa alayhi salam was the son of Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah. In response to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first review mentions that the verses of the Quran al-Majeed which are revealed are of two types. One is the muhkamat and the other is the mutashabihat. The muhkamat are those verses of the Quran al-Majeed whose meaning is clear and established, and the majority and major portion of the Quran al-Majeed, in fact most of the verses of the Quran al-Majeed fall under this category, and the seekers of truth, they understand these verses and they make amal on these verses. However, there are some verses which are called the mutashabihat. The mutashabihat are those verses where the meaning is not clear, meaning hasn't been made clear, and it has no definite meaning. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the actual meaning of those verses. We just read now in the Aqaid, for example, the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. These verses are amongst the mutashabihat. So, the verses concerning Isa alayhi salam, where Isa alayhi salam is called Ruhullah and Kalimatullah, fall in this category which we call the mutashabihat. But those people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ, that those people who have crookedness in their hearts and there is deficiency in their minds and understanding, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ, they follow and they give wrong interpretations of these mutashabihat ayat to justify and to prove their wrong beliefs. And this is what the Christians did, that to prove divinity or that Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they use these verses which are actually the mutashabihat to prove their wrong beliefs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whereas these are such verses, مَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, the correct meaning and interpretation of these verses only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah ta'ala further mentions that even those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, الرَّاسِقُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, they also admit and they also realize the limitations of their intelligence and their understanding. And they also admit and they say, آمَنَّا بِهِ, we believe in this ayat, and they say, كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, everything is from our Rabb. So we just read in belief number 6, which we did today, that these are the verses where we have to, and the most Fifth cause is that we understand our limitations, and that we cannot understand these verses. Our minds are too small to understand them, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know their true meaning. Allah ta'ala teaches us a dua after that also, which we should constantly make. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِلْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. O our Rabb, do not cause our hearts to waver from the haqq and the straight path after you have guided us, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this dua we should constantly make, and we should not fall victim to all these things which the people say, and particularly when it comes to giving wrong interpretations of the ayat of the Quran and Majeed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the things of the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made them such that naturally a person has inclination towards them, and the love of those things are in our hearts. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. That these things, the things of the dunya, their beauty and has been beautified for us, whether they are women, children, wealth, marked horses, cattle, crops, etc. But Allah Ta'ala informs us, ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That these are the things and commodities of the dunya which we have been given to make use of. And the dunya is the telling place, and we have to harvest in the year after. These are not our objectives. Allah Ta'ala says further, قُلْ أَوْنَبِّئُكُمْ لِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ. Should I not show you that which is better than that? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning those who have the quality of taqwa. For them, they are the everlasting gardens of Jannah, beneath which rivers will flow, where they will dwell in them forever and ever, and pure and clean spouses, spiritually as well as physically, and وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, and the greatest ni'mat of the akhirah, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are the muttaqeen? Some qualities have been mentioned here. Those who confirm that they have iman, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا. They admit their shortcomings, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. And they ask Allah ta'ala to protect them from the fire of Jahannam. They are those as-sabireen, who persevere, as-sabiqeen, who are truthful in word and in action, wal-qaniteen, and they are obedient, wal-munfiqeen, and they are charitable, they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal-mustaghfireen bil-ashar, and they ask for forgiveness in the early hours of the morning. Despite standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, making so much sacrifice, that they realize whatever they are doing can never ever fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the ibadat also they make istighfar. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions إِنَّ الدِّينَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that the deen which is only acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is Islam. No other deen through which a person can ever gain salvation. The deen of Christianity and Judaism were the deen of their times, but once Islam came, all of them have been abrogated, and the only acceptable deen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is Islam. Towards the end of the Sura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a similar verse, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. And whoever seeks any deen and religion besides the deen of Islam, it will never ever be accepted from him. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a verse, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. When the Muslims were digging the trench around Madinatul Munawwara, because the Kuffar had formed a coalition to try and come to Medina to destroy Islam once and for all, at that time the Muslims were under very difficult circumstances. They were hardly had food to eat, clothing was also not freely available, and there was a fear of the enemy. At that time, while within the trench, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the glad tidings to the Muslims that a time will very shortly come when the superpowers of the time, the Persian and Roman empires, will fall at the feet of the Muslims, and the Muslims will conquer those lands. The mushrikeen and the munafiqeen and the kuffar of Madinatul Munawwara, they found again an opportunity to mock and jeer at the Muslims. That look at them, they are in such difficult conditions, they don't have enough food to fill their bellies, they are fearful of the enemy, and they are dreaming of conquering the superpowers of that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that say and inform the people, and make this dua, Allahumma malik al-mulk, that, oh Allah, you only are the owner of sovereignty. You give kingship and sovereignty to whomsoever you wish, and snatch and take away kingdom from whosoever you wish. Referring to the fact that the rise and fall of nations is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause a nation to rise and another nation to fall into disgrace. تُعِزِّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Honor and disgrace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants to whomsoever he wills. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. Everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah ta'ala gives us the clear order, لَا يَتَّخِذِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءً مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That never befriend the kuffar. The kuffar are the enemies of Islam, and Islam and kuffar can never come together. So never have close friendship with the kuffar. However, the ulama explained in the explanation of this ayat that to be courteous, to be polite, to deal with them in a good way, that is not contrary to this ayat. That which has been forbidden is to keep friendship with them. The technical terms normally taught at this point is that muwalat is not permissible. Where a person has heartfelt friendship with the kuffar, this is not permissible. But mudarat, muwasat, and muamalat, this will be permissible. Where if they are in difficult conditions, to show concern and sympathy and even give them some aid, this will be permissible. Also to be polite, to be courteous, particularly if the object is to draw them towards the beauty of Islam and to draw them towards Islam itself, then it will be alright. But if it will be to the detriment of the Muslims, then particularly muamalat, business dealings also will not be permissible. But if the Muslims will not be harmed in any way, then even to have business dealings with them will be permissible. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. That if you say that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is impossible to acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without following the path shown by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following on the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of three incidents all concerning Ali Imran, the family of Imran. The first incident is that the wife of Imran, Hanna, she took a vow that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants her a child, she will dedicate that child for the service of Deen and for the service of Baytul Maqdis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted her dua, but a female child was born, that is Maryam alayhi salam was born. She was obviously filled with remorse that how will my now daughter be able to now serve Deen and serve Baytul Maqdis, because at that time only males were allowed to do this service to the Baytul Maqdis. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, that many males are not like this female. This female holds a very high position. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted her, Maryam, for the service of Deen and service of Baytul Maqdis. She was put into the care of Zakariya alayhi salam after much deliberation. And Zakariya alayhi salam, referring now to the second incident, he himself had no offspring of himself. And he looked after Maryam and had designated a special chamber for her also, that where she will continue with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. But when he used to go and see her, then he used to find out of season fruits by her. And then he asked, from where did you get this, O Maryam? She replied, huwa min indillah. That is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, Zakariya alayhi salam was already over 100 years of age. His wife was also born old and she was barren, had no children whatsoever up till now. There was no outward means of getting any children. But he made this dua, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. O Allah, grant me from your side pious offspring. Innaka sami'u dua. You are the one who responds to duas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua and he was granted the child by the name of Yahya alayhi salam. His qualities are also mentioned here. And the third incident mentioned here is that of Isa alayhi salam. If the first two incidents were miraculous and very amazing, the third incident is even more amazing, in the sense that Maryam alayhi salam, she gave birth to Isa alayhi salam without the agency of a father, even when she was informed by the angels that she will give birth to a child. She even inquired that how is it that I will get a child, وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ, that no person, no male has ever touched me. But the angels replied, كَذَلِكِ اللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. This is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for Allah ta'ala, nothing is difficult. Allah ta'ala just has to say kun, and that thing comes into existence. The ulama explained that to say kun also is just to make us understand, just the wish and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for something to come into existence. Further on, concerning Isa alayhi salam, many of his miracles are mentioned. He used to make mold from clay, the form of a bird, and blow into it. It used to become a live bird with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to pass his hands over the blind. Their eyesight used to be restored. He used to pass his hands over those afflicted with leprosy, and they used to get shifa. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention concerning the Jews who then refused to accept the nabuwat of Isa alayhi salam, despite so many miracles also being performed in front of them, and they plotted to murder and to kill Isa alayhi salam, where they had imprisoned him in the house. They stormed the house with the intention of killing him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Allah ta'ala raised Isa alayhi salam physically to the heavens. And it is our aqidah that Isa alayhi salam was not killed or crucified by these Jews, but he was raised physically to the heavens. And before Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will send him down again, and he will then slay the Dajjal who will come towards the end of time. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. These people, they plotted in trying to kill Isa alayhi salam, but Allah Ta'ala also plotted in saving Isa alayhi salam, and Allah Ta'ala is the best of planners and plotters. But these people were put under deception and confusion, as mentioned elsewhere in the sixth para also, that وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُ. They did not kill Isa alayhi salam nor crucify him, but they were put into a state of confusion that one of their own men, Allah Ta'ala made his features resemble Isa alayhi salam, and the others, thinking he was Isa alayhi salam, they killed him, whereas Allah Ta'ala had raised Isa alayhi salam physically to the heavens towards safety, and they killed their own men, and then they were put into a state of confusion. Towards the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning this delegation of Najran who came to debate concerning Isa alayhi salam, that if they are not prepared to accept, then give them the challenge of Mubahala. Mubahala means where both parties, they come with their families and they invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curses to befall that party amongst them who is on the force. This delegation initially got ready for this challenge of Mubahala, but when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with his family members, Fatima radiallahu anha, Ali radiallahu anhu, Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhuma, and they then shrank away from the challenge, knowing fully well that if we take up this challenge, we will be completely destroyed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the fourth para mentions, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that you can never acquire complete and pure virtue till you spend from that which you now love. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when this verse was revealed, the enthusiasm was such that even whatever they held dear to themselves, they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many incidents are recorded of this nature in the books of ahadith. Allah Ta'ala then mentions, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that the first house designated for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that man can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that house which is in Bakkah, which means Makkah al-Mukarramah, referring to the Baytullah. Yesterday we did the incident of the changing of the Qibla. After that, these Ahl al-Kitab, they started saying that no, the Baytul Maqdis holds superiority over the Baytullah, and it was the first house designated for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala refused that no, the first house was Baytullah, not Baytul Maqdis. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah ta'ala's right is to be feared. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in the explanation of this verse, because حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, what is meant by that, even the Sahaba became very worried. Although in another verse elsewhere is revealed, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ, as much as you can, according to your ability, develop the quality of taqwa and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions three things constitute haqq taqwa. One is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refrain from his disobedience. Number two, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to forget him. And the third is to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all his bounties and not to fall into ingratitude. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَعَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعُ وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold firmly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Mufassirin explains, refers to the Quran Majeed, which is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who hold firmly to it, they will definitely reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama explain that for the unity and collective strength of the Muslimin, these are the two vital ingredients. That is taqwa, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and holding firmly to the Quran Majeed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the high status of this ummah. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. This ummah, having the best of the Nabis, is also the best of the nations compared to the other nations. But if they fulfill, and when they fulfill this obligation of amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, the great qualities of enjoining the right and forbidding from the evil, this will be a distinguishing characteristic to be found in this ummah, which gives this ummah distinction compared to the rest of the nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, in much detail, mentions the battle of Uhud and the battle of Badr. The battle of Badr, despite the mu'mineen being vastly outnumbered by numbers and in weaponry, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance came, and they were granted a stunning victory against all odds. And after that, the battle of Uhud, in approximately 55 ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, the Muslims initially had gained a victory, but because of the mistake of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the Muslims had to suffer great losses. 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhu were made shaheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in great detail, it was an occasion for the munafiqeen to again mock and jeer at the Muslims, that what's wrong, if you are on haqq, then why did you suffer this great loss? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in approximately 25 ayat mentions concerning the munafiqeen and all the ills and the criticism which they levied against the Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that. Towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of who are the ulul albab, the intelligent ones. They are those alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyama wa qu'uda wa ala junubihim, who are perpetually or all the time engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing, sitting and lying down, wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqi as-samawati wal ard, and who ponder over the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the skies and the earth. These are the intelligent ones. And towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ, that don't ever be fall into deception concerning the affluence of the kuffar. They are moving from place to place. They are jet setting from going from year to year. مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ, this is just a little bit of the worldly things to benefit from, which Allah ta'ala has granted them. It is not a sign that they are favorable and they are liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be granted abundant wealth is not a sign that a person is liked and is favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. The recipe for success, Allah ta'ala mentions that if you want success, particularly against the kuffar, persevere and demonstrate your bravery and fearlessness and prepare adequately to combat the kuffar. And the most vital ingredient, wattaqullah, and have the quality of taqwa, la'allakum tuflihun, perhaps then you will gain success. May Allah ta'ala.